Okay, Matthew chapter 5, and we will continue with the Sermon on the Mount. I tell you, I'll be ready to get through this sermon because I spend several hours under conviction as I study about these things. I tell you, Jesus knows how to get a hold of your heart with this preaching message. He preached this on the Sermon on the Mount, and it is one good preaching message, but it gets a hold of our hearts. Let's begin to read in chapter 5, beginning in verse 43. He says, "You have heard that it hath been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, and do good to them that hate you, and pray for them that despitefully use you and persecute you, that ye may be the children of your Father which is in heaven. For he maketh the sun to rise on the evil and the good, and sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust. For if ye love him which love you, what reward have you? Do not even the publicans do the same? And if you salute your brethren only, what do ye more than others? Do not even the publicans so? Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect." Now, we've already covered the first verse there, verse 43, and so we're going to pick up in verse 44 where he says, "But I say unto you, love your enemies." Now, we talked about that last week. And then he goes on to say, "Bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them that despitefully use you and persecute you." I think most of us at some time or another have either been cursed or perhaps hated or despitefully used. It's probably a rare thing for you and I to be persecuted, probably certainly not to any degree that would be comparable to the early church or to the disciples, but perhaps maybe we've experienced persecution in that maybe because of our Christian stand or our testimony that we've caught some flack for someone, but it's probably fairly minor. But whatever the case is, we really can sum all of that up, the cursing, the hatred, the despitefully using, the persecution, and kind of sum it all up with one word: opposition. We've all faced opposition at some point in our life, and when we are opposed by someone, whether it be a group or whether it be an individual, that opposition usually finds its source in Satan. It usually finds its source in the one that hates us the most, and that's the devil. And he doesn't want us to do well. He doesn't want us to be happy. As children of God, he's already lost his chance at us, okay? We've already won that battle through Christ Jesus, and he knows that. And so what he will do is he will scheme, and he will orchestrate negative circumstances, and he will urge people's behavior or influence people's behavior, for those that he has sway over, and he will try to bring detriment to our lives in that way. He can't destroy us, but he can oppress us, and he can oppose us. And the primary use of Satan, of course, would be lost people. They don't have the Holy Spirit of God. They don't have a redeemed heart. And so they're more likely to play into the hands of Satan. Those who are not born again still can be influenced by Satan in a greater way, and in some cases completely controlled. And so the question is, if we're dealing with somebody that's under the influence of Satan, how do we battle it? Well, we're going to get to that in just a few moments when we talk about prayer and these sort of things. But here's the big question. When we face opposition from those who are Christians, how does that work? You say, well, who's the cause of that? Who's behind that? And of course, we can't blame Satan for all the bad things that happened to us. Certainly, we're all sinful enough to create our own problems. But yes, there are times when people get under the influence of Satan. Christian people, they fall prey. We can all, by the way, fall prey to his schemes. We can all get under his influence. We can get messed up, if you will, in our lives in such a way that he can use us. Can he possess us? No. The Holy Spirit lives within us. Holy Spirit will never move out, so the devil can never move in. So that can never happen, but he can work in such a way that we begin to play into his hands and do things that would harm the things of God, and that includes that would harm other Christians. So the main thing you and I should focus on as we study here is make sure that we're never the person, that we're never the Christian that is being used in that way. That we, and Jesus is going to help us with this as we study throughout these verses, that we make sure we can't do anything about another Christian that perhaps, or a lost person that falls under the influence of Satan and is opposing us, but we can make sure we're not doing the oppressing, and we can make sure we're not doing the opposing, not being the person that's doing the cursing or the hating or the despitefully using. So let's look at these one by one. Last week we covered, he says, love your enemies. Okay, we covered that. We talked about that love is agape love, which simply means it's a godly love. It's a love that God possesses, and it's a love that he imparts to his children and makes available for us. That it's agape love, as we read over in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, is primarily used as a verb in Scripture, which tells us that that kind of love is active. It's working. The kind of love that he speaks of is not speaking so much in terms of feelings, but in terms of service, terms of taking action. And that's what agape love is. And so what is that saying there? That he says love in such a way, your enemies in such a way that you take action. You do good things, okay? So the next one on the list is, he says, bless them that curse you. Now the phrase there, blessed, the word that's rendered blessed there, means to praise or to speak well of. It's the same word we get our word eulogy from. When you go to a funeral and somebody eulogizes somebody, they stand up there and they say good things about them. They speak blessings and praises about that person. Most of it's lies these days, but no, I'm just kidding you. And when they're dead, we just get up there and lie and just make everybody feel better. I'm just kidding you. But anyway, that's the same idea, is that a praising or speaking well of. So, how's that work? Bless them, speak well of, praise them that curse you. It's a pretty difficult thing. I tell you, our first inclination, as you well know, when someone has cursed us and spoken badly of us, first of all, we want to retaliate with our own words and make sure they know where we stand. And our first line of work is to set them straight and this sort of thing. But then secondly, our desire, and it's within every human being, is to then make sure other people know how bad they are. And so that comes in the form of talking about them in a negative way, which would be the opposite of the word and the term here of blessing and speaking well of. Now, we Christians, we're a little more subtle and we're a little more refined, and so we do this in way of a prayer request, right? We all know how it works, don't you? You know, bless her heart. She's a tramp, but y'all pray for her. You know, she's getting so fat; it's unhealthy. Let's pray for her. You know, that's how we do, and so that's not good either. Anyway, we approach it when we speak ill of someone, we speak negatively of someone, we're going the opposite of what Jesus is telling us to do. And so Jesus says, "Speak well of them." That means to speak graceful things. Man, that's hard. Somebody's cursed us. Speak things that, you know, like they always say, if you can't say anything at all, I mean anything good, then don't say anything at all. And really that's the approach. But Jesus says to bless them. So folks, I don't know how you do that, but I do know that the Bible tells us in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 29, he says, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the edifying of the hearer, that it may be, but it may minister grace unto the hearers. And that's the only thing I can tell you. We have to learn, first of all, to not know the opposite and say negative things, but we have to muster up the ability, and that can only come from the Spirit of God, because it's certainly not in me by nature, to speak good things concerning a person that has opposed us. Speaking in theory, folks, I don't know that I've got that one even remotely down in my life. But that's a difficult thing to practice, but I promise you, it'll bring blessings upon our life. Now, the third thing, he tells us, he says, love them, love your enemies, and bless them that curse you. And then he says, do good unto them that hate you. Do good unto them that hate you. And that doing good, just simply what it sounds like there, to do the honorable thing, the right thing, the noble thing, to conduct ourselves in such a way that we're above reproach. Just this week, I was spent time counseling someone whom I'm very close to that's going through a conflict. And my advice and my urging was this: don't do everything you can to walk away with the most money, because it's a partnership that's dividing. Don't do that, but rather do everything you can to be on the high road, and be kind, be amicable, and walk away with your testimony and your integrity intact. That's what the loss of time or money is irrelevant. Those are the things that the Bible says a good name is rather to be had than great riches. And so that's my counsel. It's not about what's fair. It's not about what's just. It's not about our rights or getting what's coming to us. It's about honoring God and staying above reproach. And folks, that's what Jesus is teaching us here. He says, do good unto them that hate you. Folks, they're just people that don't like us. They're just going to be that. And then people go beyond that and oppose us. And Jesus says, do good. I had a situation a few years back where a guy gave me a good cussing. I've had worse, but I've had better cussings, by the way. But he gave me a good cussing. And so it wasn't too long afterwards that I saw him walking down the street. He don't have a car, so he's walking. And so I thought, I'll run over you. No, I'm just kidding. And so I pulled over and offered him a ride. And that's not easy. Now, I'm not boasting. I thought God told me, says, mend some fences here. And he didn't accept my ride, but that's okay. I feel like I did the right thing. We could take the approach, hey, run over him, or we take the approach, hey, what can I do good? And those are tough things, but folks, God always blesses, and we always come out the other side of those situations. For one thing, better representing our Lord here on earth, but also feeling better about ourselves when we've done the right thing. It's as much for ourselves as it is for the other person when we do good unto those who hate us. And so the fourth thing he says here is our fourth responsibility is to pray for those that despitefully use us and persecute us. Now, we might not love those people who oppose us. We might not love them for who they are, but we have to love them. We might not love them for what they are, how they conduct themselves, but we have to love them for who they are. First of all, if they're believers, they're children of God. They're heirs of Christ, joint heirs of Christ. They're brothers and sisters in Christ, whether we like the way they conduct themselves or behave themselves or not. We have to love them for that reason. And so we should pray for them, and in such a way that, hey, God, this is your child. This is another believer. This is going on, but I want blessings on that person. I want that person to have a strong relationship with you and this sort of thing. If they're lost, the person opposing us, we should love them also for who they are. They're a soul that's created in the image of God that has not yet found God. And so we should pray to that end as well, with a heart of love and compassion, that this person would come to know the Lord Jesus Christ and be redeemed just as we ourselves has. And just desirous that God's will would be accomplished in their life so they would no longer be lost. And the only way that a person's ever going to be saved is if the Holy Spirit of God deals with their heart. And what better way for us to facilitate that than to petition the Holy Spirit of God. Go deal with this person. Would you please convict this person and show them who you are and reveal yourself to him, praying fervently for their soul. And so we don't want to see anybody, even our worst enemy, go into eternity apart from God. We shouldn't ever have a heart that would wish that on anybody. So love them, bless them, do good to them, and pray for them. Now notice, and we'll wind it up here, notice why we should do it. Besides just being commanded to do it, okay, by the Lord Jesus Christ, it goes on in verse 45, it says, that ye may be the children of your Father which is in heaven. Now, is that saying that we're going to earn our salvation by doing this? No, not at all. It's not saying that at all. Essentially, what that's saying, that ye may, by doing these things, give evidence of your being a child of God. It doesn't make us sons and daughters. Doing good doesn't make us sons and daughters, but it indicates that we are already sons and daughters. And so that's exactly what that means in verse 45. One of the most common criticisms that Christianity faces is that we don't live up to our faith. People are like, you know, they say they believe this, but they don't live up to their faith. And though the lost world may not know the Word of God, they might not even know precisely any of the teachings of the Lord Jesus Christ, but the lost world knows enough to know that Christians are supposed to be nice, that Christians are supposed to be kind, merciful, patient, that Christians are not to be hateful, derogatory, foul-mouthed, retaliatory. The lost world knows enough about Christians to know that, okay? And so verse 45 goes on to say this. He says that that you may be the children of your Father which is in heaven, for he maketh the sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust. Think about this, what this is saying for a moment. Why would he interject that phrase at the end of his telling us to love our enemies and bless them that curse us and do good to them that hate us and pray for them that despitefully use us? Why would he interject this? Really, what he's talking about there in the latter part of verse 45, he's speaking to us about God's example of love. This is how God loves, is what Jesus is saying. The blessings that of rain and sunshine are given without any respect of whether anybody deserves it or not. Those are just things that God gives the world. Good rain, good sunshine, and that's what Jesus is saying here. God just gives that. If it were up to people to deserve it, we'd never get any rain and we'd never get any sunshine. But he says God just gives that. That's what a lot of theologians would call common grace. It's just given by God, just good things given to this world by God, okay? And so everybody gets to experience those things. And so the message here is that Jesus is trying to get across here is that you and I have to learn to love and bless and do good and pray for people who are undeserving as well. We're to learn to give common grace, to just be that way to every person, whether they've opposed us, whether they've despitefully used us or not. But in a general sense, regardless of whether they're wicked or righteous, he says he gives rain to the just and the unjust. The sun rises on the good and the evil. And he's saying we ought to love and do good and pray for and whatever the other one was, to people, regardless of whether they're wicked or righteous or deserving of our care. So appreciate you guys very much. We'll get right back to verse 46 the next time we're together, and we're almost done with chapter 5, and we'll get right to it. We've got two more chapters of Sermon on the Mount. Good stuff. Hard stuff, but good stuff, okay? Appreciate you. Let's stand, and we'll be dismissed in a word of prayer. Hope you go have a good, blessed remainder of the week. Brother Jerry, will you lead us in prayer, please?